first sense as I awaken under the fans of northern summer light. Perhaps I shall get well here. Who can remain that long? Light has more duration than the eye. To remain too long in the north is to become a sickness of another syndrome. I've summoned and survived that too, and carry it asleep now in the caves and crevasses of my blood.
Tonight from Vancouver, as part of this CBC Tuesday night program, Poet in an Arctic Landscape by J. Michael Yates.
Stay in Edmonton.
All flat as I heard it was.
How'd you sleep?
I couldn't sleep at all.
Asleep now.
Yeah, well, there's a party in my room.
In the caves and crevasses of my blood.
Wonder if it's as cold up there as they say it is.
Man, if we get marooned until spring, I got enough lung underwear for everybody.
My wife insisted I go out and buy some. Yeah. But they don't sell that kind of
here.
Thing.
Here. Suspended above the earth is exile. Alberta passing beneath me like printed newspaper flashing through the rollers. Fabric, perhaps, in a textile mill. Chrome green and silver fabric. My notebooks open on my knees, but nothing comes. No, the image refuses to declare itself. Exile. Exile. Each of us in his seat in the bowels of this machine, separated by seat bags before and behind us, arms of the seats between us, and all of us imprisoned here within a single fuselage. The tightly girdled bottom of the stewardess who is gazing at the piano key teeth of the swarthy man who is asking for a glass of water. At the window, light breaks through the cloud cover and chromes the lakes below. Exile. All of us aboard the same machine flying northward. Perhaps deathward. Definitely deathward. No, not this trip, but later. Elemental.
What time is it?
Elementary.
I don't know. My watch is stopped.
Where are you from?
Exile.
Kansas. Come from
elementary.
Where are you from? I'm going to eat this cigarette if I can't smoke soon.
Each of us isolate in time and space. And I am here to gather material for a book of poems. What an act of blind faith a book is. Words won't signify exactly the experience as I experienced it. They'll signify even less the original experience by the time the poems arrive in final form. Exile. No worse, finally, than any other exile in any other place.
We wish to welcome you aboard Northwest Transport Charter Flight Number 17.
At any other time.
Pike Bay on Great Bear Lake, Northwest Territories. You may now push your seats back and smoke if you wish, and move around the aircraft. We suggest that when you're seated, you keep your seat belts fastened. Our weather, as you can see outside your window, is excellent. But we could experience turbulence with little warning.
Yes. Turbulence. No warning whatsoever. No warning at all. All of us here have a few things in common. Our seats, our seat belts, our orange oxygen masks. And you, dear young lady, with yours on, look like an Eskimo's conception of an elephant.
Upon change of atmospheric pressure inside the cabin, your mask will pop out automatically directly above you.
My masks pop out automatically.
We're flying at 5,000 feet and should land at Pike Bay in approximately 3.5 hours. Please don't hesitate to call on me for anything. We hope you enjoy your flight. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is the osmotic life. Flowing from the area of greatest density to that of least density. Density of what? Civilization? No. The concrete wilderness and the one with the bears and trees are coevals. After a year, month, a week, even a day in the bush, city seems the virginal attraction, the challenge. I hate to find the footprints of a man on the shore of a remote lake. Even my own, especially my own. But any man who isn't part rapist isn't alive. I'm in flight. Having raped Vancouver, I'm now fugitive, escaping to Great Bear Lake. But there I'll forget all my past crimes and set upon a new one. Rape of the Arctic. And I'll bring back poems for trophies.
You suppose this light meter will read through both panes of glass?
I don't know. There's kind of a reflection.
It was in a plane. Unlike this plane. Only a few hundred feet above the tundra. That we came upon the wolf bitch and her five pups. Dogs, my mind said. Dogs. She sat upright in the open country. There in the center of the infinite tundra, for all appearances undisturbed by the small plane containing two men, circled round and round the statuesque wolf and her awkward litter. Perhaps she knew there was no place to run. What did it matter that we circled and circled? The pilot said, "There you see a lot of bounty I'll pick up in the winter." I gazed through the plastic window. One of the pups, a black pup, began bounding round his mother in a circle after the plane, as though it were something to take in his teeth and play with or eat. He stumbled over his outsized feet. "A dog," my mind said. I dreamed I could hear him barking through the plastic window and over the sound of the engine. But then I noticed his eyes. Gray. Clear. Infinitely deep, yet impervious. An alien weather behind them. Regardless, the wolfish habits of dogs and the dog-like demeanor of wolves, there is a window, a plastic window between them. But this plane flies too high. There's nothing concrete, nothing moving down there. Earth is an abstraction. This double window I look through. Is that my reflection, that shape of a face I can look through toward the earth where the animals are? Is it the face of a madman? When I look toward the wilderness outside, it watches me.
Where are you from in California?
San Diego.
Really? What do you do?
Well, I'm a hairstylist.
Oh, miss, I don't suppose you'll serve cocktails soon.
It's 6 a.m.
No, my thirst has never learned to tell the time.
Well, I'm sorry. We don't serve cocktails on charter flights, but the bar will be open at the lodge when we arrive. In the meantime, maybe you can find someone on the flight with some...
That's too high a price to pay for a drink. Even sobriety is better than society.
I'll have to break out my reserve, I guess. How about a glass and some ice?
Oh, water?
Just the ice.
Well, out this way, you mean?
No, it's somewhere on this side of the plane. Come have a look.
Oh, hello there, Ari.
Hmm?
Mind if we look out your window?
Oh, no, not at all. I was about to stand up and stretch my legs anyway.
Here you are.
Oh, certainly am. Thank you.
Did you ever see anything like that out there?
That beautiful. Beautiful.
The drumlins are fantastic. Real labyrinth. Looks almost like Chinese or Japanese ideograms, isn't it? But can I offer you gentlemen a drink?
No, I can't. Stomach trouble. I just finished an eye-opener back at the seat. You go ahead.
I'm glad to see I'm not the only crack of dawn drunk. Cheers.
Well, back home, I don't drink in the morning as a rule.
No, I don't either. I think I'll have another one to make up for it.
But being in the bush is different.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of bush for that matter. You know what I mean.
Being in the bush is different. Yes. Being anywhere outside the zone of the habitual is different. At home, I behave. Because speed signs tell me exactly how fast to go, and they tell me frequently. Otherwise, I'd put my foot in the carburetor. I'm an animal. Civilization is a thin cosmetic. I'm an ape with makeup. When I fly to another city, my sense of time and space changes. When time and space change, I become someone else. Inevitably, someone more primitive, less predictable. My friend, you're seated beside a dangerous man.
Yes, being in the bush is different.
Well, I'm going back up to my seat.
I'll see you later. My name's Frank Welsh, Kentucky. Lexington. He's from Kentucky, too.
And my name's McGurk.
I think I'll
interest that magazine.
Sit down here with you,
sure,
if you don't mind.
Take it.
Cloud cover's pretty heavy on the other side of the plane.
All right, by all means. Just let me move the bottle and the notebooks.
Oh, they're going to take it down.
Have you fished Great Bear Lake before?
Oh.
Oh, you love it.
Yes.
You going to be at the main lodge or one of the spike camps?
Main lodge, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so, if this is your first time. Well, the repeaters get first choice for the spike camps.
A spike camp better?
Well, fish are supposed to run a little bigger there.
And not this week. I know even now.
Hmm?
Vibrating inside this imbecile tube.
Nothing?
A mile above the earth. But I'll catch the largest fish. I say, I don't need the largest fish. Fate says, shut up and troll. Right. I'll only open my mouth to ingest more booze. You've caught a lot of lake trout, eh?
Yeah, plenty. Right in Great Bear Lake.
Speaking of lake trout, I've rather special respect for them. If it isn't too early in the morning for fish stories, I'll tell you a whopper.
Oh, great.
Now, let me pour myself a little more of this elixir of well-being.
Yeah.
There. Well, I was driving down the Alcan Highway from Fairbanks to Vancouver. I was changing jobs. I pulled into Rudy Weba's fish camp at Muncho Lake. Now, Muncho Lake's just on the B.C. side of the B.C.-Yukon border. Surprising place. Well, Rudy had Bach's Volkstemperierter Klavier playing over an outside speaker.
What in hell is a klavier?
It's harpsichord music.
Oh.
Well, I was praying that the ice pack had already burned off. Early in June as it was a toss-up.
Uh-huh.
It was along toward evening. I was tired, covered with dust, half drunk. Always travel drunk. Had an old Chevy four-speed truck with a camper on the back.
That four-speed is a great transmission.
However, when I pulled in, I saw that the ice pack was only about 100 yards offshore. You could hear Bach everywhere except when the diesel generator cut in. A year before, I'd caught a number of small lakers, 2 to 5 pounds. Fine meat fish.
Yes, sir, fine eating.
But, well, the pack was in too close this time, so I thought of going
out. If you look out your windows on the right side of the plane, you'll see Yellowknife coming up below. Yellowknife is the capital of the Northwest Territories and located on Great Slave Lake.
Supposed to be some good fish in Great Slave.
Oh, yeah. Now, I fished it a few years ago. It's been commercial fished.
Mm.
Well, go on.
Well, Rudy came out. They remembered me. I was going to drive on, but he said that overnight the ice pack could blow down to the lower end of the lake. So I set up camp by the lakeside, and I sat drinking with Rudy there in the long midnight light. Early next morning, he woke me up shouting that the ice pack had moved. The lake trout, as you know, go crazy for a couple of days just after the ice pack's gone.
Yeah.
Well, I got my gear together and was heading for the boat when an old retired American pulled into the camp with a long Cadillac and a huge trailer. He went down to the water's edge, began flogging the shallow water with an ancient casting rod, cursing freshwater fishing.
I know the type.
Well, I invited him to come out in the boat with me. We trolled the small bays of the lake for small fish. Him all the while yowling about his yacht and Florador and the big saltwater fish and the absurdity of people wasting their time chasing these freshwater minnows. He quieted down a little when he began catching fish. Nothing huge, nothing larger than around 5 pounds. And I caught some. Well, around 7 p.m., it never gets dark, really, at that time of the year, I decided to troll straight out across the Blackwater to an island near the other side. And I was using a 3-pound line on a Mitchell 400 reel. That's great sport with the little ones. As the water darkened, you know, from the gray of the shallows down into the green of the drop-off and then into the black of the deep water, we got fewer and fewer strikes. The old man began to bitch again. I reeled in, put some split shot on a few feet ahead of my red and white spoon. I decided I'd try an old Missouri bass fisherman's trick. I put a small strip of pork rind on the hook, let the line out again. Water was a mirror. It was just the low sound of the outboard wobbling between the stone faces of the valley. Then the world stopped dead. My rod arched over slowly.
Well, then.
I cut the kicker. It was all stillness, a slow motion throb at the end of the rod. The old man said, "What the hell? It's a snag. Let's go back and get it." "Oh, we're in 500 feet of water," I said. Well, then I told him to get back on the engine. We traded places. He grumbled like heck. I told him to start the engine and leave it in neutral, but be ready. And then I stung the fish 3 or 4 times. All hell broke loose.
What was it?
Well, 4 hours later and 3 miles down the lake, we still didn't know. At about 11 p.m., there was still plenty of light. A boat full of the locals pulled up about 25 yards off to watch. They said they'd been following us for the past couple of hours. My whole right side was paralyzed. I could see long threads fraying out on the line so many times it had been through the eyes. I asked them if they had a net. "Well, not big enough for what you got," they said. Then they volunteered to go back to Weber's and get a gaff. All the time, I'd been saying to myself, "I can only see it. It'll be enough. Just let me see it."
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the fish was directly underneath the boat. The line was coming in, half inch by half inch. And then I could see something materializing, perhaps, 50 feet down in the clear water. Fins at least a foot long, growing wearily. I'd never seen anything like it. Now, the fish arrived at the surface on his side of the boat just about the time the other boat pulled alongside with a gaff. Gaff? What he stepped into my boat with looked like no gaff I'd ever seen. I found out later it was a sort of device with jaws used for boating fish under 10 pounds.
A big help.
My fish was half the length of the boat. A good 5 feet. Locals guessed it weighed over 70 pounds. I yelled at the man with the gaff, "Don't touch the line, it's worn out." But he made a pass with the gaff. He wouldn't even go around the tail of the fish. The second pass, he touched the line, and it broke.
Oh, too bad.
The fish dissolved again into the colors of the water.
What did you do?
I sat down, swore silently at the perverse gods who had taken me literally when I muttered that seeing the fish should be enough. Now, back at the camp, I got joyously and morosely drunk.
What a trophy I would have made.
I was broke. God, I'd have had to fly the fish out to have it stuffed.
What sort of idiot clutters his walls with stuffed fish?
Quite an experience.
There is no animal in the North that he doesn't hunt at one time or another. It seems at first deeply important that he bring back hides, antlers, and quarters of meat as trophies. But it occurs to him that there is really no one to whom he could show them. And he travels far too light to take them with him.
Well, don't get me wrong.
No.
I know what you mean.
Shouldn't be lying now.
What do you think about Hammer the other day?
I think it's high time somebody stood up and said something about it.
Well, that's what I've been saying.
I shouldn't have thought they could land a big 4-inch job like this at the lake. What do they got down there?
Oh, they got land and strip not a half mile from the lodge. Bulldoze it out of the scrub. Beautiful job. Just sand, a mile long.
They walk down?
Hell, you don't walk up here. I'd take you everywhere in camper trucks and buses. Rooms are just like a good motel, best food you ever ate. Bar, everything. Well, hell, man, there isn't any wilderness no more.
Maybe. Miss, may I have some more ice?
You'll just have time to drink it before we land.
Don't believe me, no aircraft is that quick.
Yeah, I can see it plainly now. Have you got the map there?
No, in my suitcase.
Say, what part of the States are you from?
I'm from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Well, you don't talk like Canadian.
Oh, really? How do we talk?
Well, I don't know. It's what's different. What were you doing in Alaska?
Teaching at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Here you are.
Oh, thanks.
Are you teach now?
At the University of British Columbia.
Well, now, isn't that interesting? Well, I'm in real estate. You look young to be a university teacher.
I've been teaching in university since I was 21.
How old are you now?
I've been alive since the Pleistocene age. I rode mastodons and laid saber-toothed tigers. I had archaeopteryxes in my aviary.
30.
Please fasten your safety belts and extinguish your cigarettes. Put your seat backs in the upright position. We'll be landing shortly at Pike Bay.
The wolves say to the dogs what the madman of me says to the citizen. I need to go fishing until I need to return.
What's that step?
Hey, Bill, yeah. You have my camera.
Where do we pick up our gear?
Let me back in. I must have left it in
the... Hey, Sam! Sam, I'm over here!
Here too, eh?
Yeah.
Chaos is possible anywhere.
Times like this, think nothing and drink as much as you can.
Yeah, amen.
Well, I'll drink to that.
What we have in common, buddy, is that you and I would drink to everything. Or to nothing. Especially nothing.
Please, everybody. Please. Those of you who have red tags on your baggage will remain at the main lodge, so please get in the bus on the right. Now, whoever has a green tag will fly onto the spike camp. If you'll get in the bus on the left, we'll drive you down to the water to make your play.
Okay.
All right, let's get going.
Just a moment. Don't worry about your baggage. Your baggage will be along later.
Yeah. Okay. Red tags, green tags, the damn computers can find you anywhere.
Red tags are all communists.
Yeah, well, the greens have gangrene.
No, the green ones are just all Essex.
Hey, they got a communist party up here in Canada, don't they?
Let me know if you find one here at the lake. I mean, the Communist Party's legal up here, isn't it?
Sure. Even the fish are pink salmon.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Let's go.
This is the main lodge. Everybody else.
Bad the lake down there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks rough.
Here, look at all that white water.
Bad as hell.
Sam, I'm over here.
Get a shot of that water.
Okay, everybody, before you go inside, come on over here for a little orientation.
Is that fat bastard?
Must be one of the crew. He's got Northwest Lodge on that thing on his head.
We want to welcome you all to Great Bear Lake. Now, that place there full of people is the bar and where you sleep. I'll give you some idea what you do in your spare time around here. Nobody eats.
They bar a entry for mail, then in Edmonton, now here.
I want to explain a few things to you about our Indian guides. A lot of you probably never seen Indians, and these here Indians never seen much of anything. Now, most of them are pretty lucky if they can find water when you're in the boat. But, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about our Indians. These are fine, fine Indians.
Enough.
Lolo,
let me
on.
At the bar.
They know a lot of English, somewhere between 3 and 5 words. They understand fish. Now, when you have fish on, you yell fish. Why, guard will just throw the motor in reverse and cut your line for you. They understand rock. When you're in shallow water and you yell rock, wait a minute, you have it through the floorboard. Oh, lunch. Lunch is the word you really understand. Yell lunch and they head for shore. Any shore. And, and tough pull. Go home. That they understand. They head for home proud.
I've had all that kind of orientation I can take. Where's the bar?
That building in there, I think. People keep coming out of there with cans of beer.
They're all small. Not everybody. Not everybody. But I'm on my way inside to join the noisy majority.
Well, it's just been a wonderful week.
It certainly has.
Try a soda. Yeah, a doctor.
You got your fish fillets?
They said they'd put them on the plate.
Okay. When do we leave?
I don't know. I just got here.
We just come in with this week's party.
Right.
How's the weather?
Great.
Hey, are you really going to have that minnow stuff?
That fish cost me $2,000. You're damn right. And when I get home...
Say, I'd like a beer.
What kind?
Girl, makes no difference.
$1.
Buck?
All drinks are $1. Pop, too. It's the volume cost of flying things in.
I'll remember that.
Yeah, well,
My name's McGurk. You'll be seeing a lot of me. Well, you're Jack, I see, by your nameplate.
Right. You'll find your nameplate over in the dining hall.
Great to know who you are.
Double scotch for me and a bourbon from a friend here.
You forget often?
Only when I'm drunk. I'm drunk only most of the time.
Give us another round here. Same all around.
Plane leaves soon?
You'll have time for this one.
Who's your expert on Indians outside?
Laughing Boy? He's from Texas.
He doesn't work for the lodge?
No.
Some welcoming committee.
You ought to spend a summer up here watching this zoo. He and the rest will be flying out in a few minutes. Then you and the rest of your group can get in your rooms.
Is that the lake down the road?
Yep.
Oh, I think I'll go down and talk to it for a while. Give me about 3 of those solid gold cans of beer to take with me, will you?
I'm here to remember my animal. A ghost beast of many shapes. Sometimes a solitary caribou. More often a bear. A man comes north to become an animal. He turns the whole day toward food and a place to sleep warm. Small cracks begin at the bases of marble angels that were his ideas. His days come down like trees felled to feed an insatiable fire, like trees felled to raise a cabin, whose windows and doors vanish a little hour to hour. As the man said, just like a good motel. I'm paying to be well fed, boozed, and someone will make up my bed each day.
What do you got there?
Dead trout. Found it washed up in the beach. They say a bunch of bears hang around the lodge. Thought we might coax them out with the fish.
Great. I'll come up in a little bit and check on your bear baiting.
The fish circle a spawn, crimson in clear emerald. There is a time not to eat anymore. To go against the current until death swims beside you tirelessly.
There is a time for the great bear who waits at the turn of the water to take the body and all its possible generations in a single sweep. But to go aground in the shallows, side up, not living and not dead, to oil the air with rot. With every orbit around to perpetuity, a little more flesh falls away.
There he is. Jim Louie, give the smell of fish to the nice man. Stay back.
Yeah, but doesn't he know that that sow barrel take him apart?
Probably a train bear they keep around to make us feel like this is really rugged wilderness.
Come on, Bear.
Come on, Bear. Come on. Come on, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Like a man who has bombed a city and returns as a tourist, I return.
Hey, bears like fish, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on, walk right up to it, Louie.
Hell. Hell, he's from New York. He never seen a damn bear before. Doesn't believe in wild animals.
Now, all he ever saw when he looked outside was concrete.
He drunk?
Nah. Louie don't drink. He's just stupid.
Yeah, them New Yorkers, you know, they think the whole world is one big concrete ball. Well, them animals in the zoo, they ain't real.
Watch it, Louie. Watch it, watch it.
Hey, that bear's watch getting it. Angry.
Huh, look at that. Put the fish in the tub and she threw it right out.
Damn right. That garbage is better eaten.
There's a big old boar around here. That's twice as big as she is.
Watch it, Louie. She'll eat you.
He's a fool to mess with that bear.
Yeah, what can you do about it?
I can record his death on film.
Leave him alone, Louie.
Ah, she ain't gonna do nothing. These bears like fish.
Hey, do they serve women around here?
I saw a couple running around here a while ago.
It
must work here.
You did?
No.
It costs enough here. They ought to supply a broad for every bed. Come on, Louie. You can't make that bear. She's mine. That bear doesn't want a skinny little wolf when she can have a big crap like me. Watch it! Run, Louie!
Louie!
Jesus! Look at that bear move. Dude, my bastard. She almost had you.
She was just playing.
Grizzly can run faster than a quarter horse. Turn twice as fast.
Yeah? That a grizzly?
No. Black.
I return here. Like a man who has bombed a city and returns as a tourist, I return here. A camera between me and the world. How to wrest my wilderness from the teeth of all my cannibal cities? One man of me goes ghostly through all the walls. He lives without substance and has only nothing to say. The rest live as animals at a zoo, and over-civilized men who gaze down the colors of an Arctic lake. In the twilight negative landscape, a self-conscious nothing moves away, a pike which will die with a pike in its throat. I can fall out the terrible blue canyons between the clouds.
Drink.
Fill up my glass. I'll follow you anywhere. You know Louie?
Yeah, party of seven of us up here from New York. Louie's an old retired railroad man. His son, Sergio, is the same business as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Trailers, mobile homes. Kid's 27, worth a couple of million. We go on several of these trips a year.
A lot of money up here.
Well, I thought that my $60,000 a year was some money till I came up here. You know old Frank Donaldson?
The one with the funny shoes?
Yeah. Well, he brought his catheter and his doctor along with him in case he had any prostate gland blockage.
A lot of old men up here.
Wonder what makes them old duffers get out in the bush like this. If one of them fell in this cold water, it'd be all over for him.
Same thing that brings us up here, I guess. Same thing that makes a man go out and write books, make money, chase a lot of women. Those old boys have already made their money. They're not interested in writing books. Can't do the women much damage. They probably fish better than you and I do. They have fewer distractions.
Oh, that.
Looks like last week's roof's gone.
We won't have to machete our way to the bar.
Aye, we'll have, Well, what do you want?
Double rye on the rocks.
Rye?
Well, this is Canada.
Give me the safe.
Right.
Where are you from?
New York.
Vancouver.
Vancouver?
Well, what's with Vancouver?
You're the only Canadian in the party.
Crazy.
In fact, I'm sure you're the only Canadian to sign up this year. Maybe the only one ever to come up here as a guest, I mean.
All Americans?
All Americans.
Isn't Canada owned by the United States?
You and I are the only two Canadians around, except for the pilots. I'm the only one on the staff.
Americans own the lodge in town?
The works.
You don't say.
Now, if you'll all have a seat, fellas, get a drink first.
Yeah, okay.
I'll give you a room assignment.
Okay. Come on, sit down. By the way, I'm Bill Van Sant.
Ralph McGee.
Now, first, let me welcome all of you to the Northwest Lodge. I'm Herb Price, general manager of the lodge. And to answer your first question, the fishing's been great.
You expect
a fantastic week.
Yeah. What size have been catching them?
Well, our best this season is 51 pounds.
Oh, net that one, did you?
No. No, I was caught by a doctor. Now, I'll tell you a little about Great Bear Lake. It's about 250 miles long at its longest point.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is the fourth largest body of water on the North American continent and is the largest lake entirely within Canada.
It is 12,029 square miles, of which 292 square miles are islands. The length of the coastline is 1,680.
How shall I contain 1,400 feet of water? Is there anything in the labyrinth of my shoals and bays that deep? Nothing can live at that depth that I know of. Only the nothing, there in that final darkness, survives. It's the nothing at the floors of all my black water that whispers into my dreams, I am alive.
Well, it's after 6 and it still looks like noon. Does it get dark at all?
Well, it gets darker than it has been. You know, it was so light before.
Situated as it is across the Arctic Circle, the lake experiences continuous daylight from the middle of May to the middle of July, with the sun continuously above the horizon for 10 days.
That's okay by me.
How is your room assignment to here on this list? I'll leave it here on the table.
How long has this lodge been here?
Well, the owners bought it from the U.S. government, the basic buildings and some equipment, that is, about 8 years ago. And the lodge has been open.
The earliest evidence of occupation of the lake by man is from the site at the source of the Bear River, where Franklin Dock now stands. It was discovered during excavation for the erection of oil tanks. Radiocarbon dating places the occupation at about 5,000 years ago. This would be approximately 3,000 to 4,000 years after the retreat of the ice from the neighborhood.
How many guests do you have per year?
Right at 500.
Well,
now. At those prices, that's a lot of dollars.
The people was very primitive. It has affiliations with Southern culture in existence 4,000 to 5,000 years earlier. Associated with the artifacts discovered at this site, the remains of woolly mammoth, which apparently formed part of the diet of these people. I am alive since the beginning, long before the ice. The musk ox do not run from me. In the tar pits with the great reptiles I died. I am as extinct as all the extinct animals and as alive as those you see.
Mud volcanoes of the tundra disfigure me.
Now, I must caution you about the bears, fellas. They are not tame. They come around for scraps, but a bear is a bear.
Ever had any accidents?
Well, not yet.
You hear that, Louie? You can be the first.
Yeah.
They won't bother you if you won't bother them, but remember that they are at all times dangerous.
Are there any snakes?
None. Snakes can't live this far north.
All adaptations and mutations are within and without my body. I am white as winter ptarmigan, blue as glacial bears, black as the dark leopards of the dark land. When I die, so will the world die with me. After the thaw, I appeared with these alluvial lines some call a face. My name is nothing. I contain all time and all space.
Now, are there any more questions?
What hour is the bar open?
Well, Jack will be up before you leave the fish every morning, so you can buy beer or bottles of whiskey to take with you.
Beautiful.
Now, gentlemen, your guide assignments will be made in the morning at the dock. I'll leave copies of our little briefing handbook for you here on the table. It'll answer most of your questions. Please make your choices about finding partners by morning. You'll fish two to a boat with a guide.
Ralph, I'm the odd man in our party. You got a partner?
No. Oh, let's fish together.
For those of you interested in char fishing on Victoria Island, you'll fly out in parties of seven in a beach craft and come back the same day. Now, the first trip will be day after tomorrow on a first cut.
After tomorrow.
Put me down, McGurk.
Good enough. Yeah. Me too. Van Sant.
I don't know.
How much?
$150.
Just for one day?
Look, it's 500 miles across the Arctic Circle and the Arctic Ocean.
Yeah. No kidding.
You'll be fishing at Minto Inlet on the upper part of the island.
I want to go. Abbott.
Yeah.
Gerard. John Gerard.
All right, I've got McGurk and Van Sant for the first trip.
Getting up.
If the rest of you will give me your name. By the way, dinner should be ready if you want to wash up.
Oh.
Over in the dining hall.
Well, let's get that then. Food.
Come on. I'm about half drunk.
So have some food and come back and get completely
drunk. Remember, 6 a.m. comes plenty early.